Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. Today, Dave and I are continuing in Matthew 13 about the parable of the wheat and the weeds and what it means to us personally and daily.
Well, the sower is a sweeping parable about the kingdom, and that's what we're talking about. We're considering passages out of, it's kind of a study of Matthew out of the book Kingdom, Finding Your True Self, which I haven't released yet. I'm just kind of working on it, and I like to sit on things for a year or two, so I've been contemplating this for a while. I've written it, and now we're talking about it because the kingdom is just such a central part to being able to understand the meaning of our lives and the significance of our lives. Mm-hmm. And the more we understand about the kingdom, the better it is. So we're right in the middle of the parable of the sower, and we kind of saved for today the idea of the wheat and the weeds. Mm-hmm. Are you going to read it or do you want me to?
Sure. No, I'm totally up for it.
Well, I know you like doing that.
I do. But you looked already. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares or weeds among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and produced grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The slave said to him, 'Do you want us to go and gather them up?'"
Okay, now before you go any further, I'm thinking about some of the gardening that I do, and I've got flower gardens and whatever. And, you know, it's kind of maddening because you work at your flowers. And, you know, especially in certain different times of the summer or whatever, and weeds can grow so quickly. I mean, they just, boom, they just kind of explode.
Well, and another interesting thing is when everything is first coming up, I can't always tell what are weeds and what are new plants that I'm not sure what they're going to look like. And that's what this particular weed in this scripture is talking about. When it's young, it resembles wheat. And it says that it wasn't until the wheat sprouted that the weeds were particularly noticeable. So the wheat finally produced fruit or grain. The weeds didn't.
Yes. And when I send my grandsons out to help me with, determining what are flowers and what are weeds, they don't have the discernment.
No.
They're just learning what that means.
And I think this passage also depicts just how devious Satan's demons are, like how camouflaged they make themselves until they're exposed. But by then, they've often done a lot of damage.
So this presents a real challenge, but he said, no, for while you're gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest, and then in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. So the parable of the wheat and the weeds, which is what I like to call it, it's the wheat and the tares. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about tares is that they really do look like wheat.
Right.
And until your point earlier about until it's time to produce fruit, it's very difficult to tell the difference. And, you know, that's kind of the way the world is. It's, you know, the seed of God has been sown into the world, and there are a lot of weeds.
Well, we're born into a world at war. And while God is a farmer and a cultivator, he is glorified by the existence of tares and has allowed them into the story. And this was a mystery to me. A little less so now, but now that I have more understanding, I can see how our obedience in the fight makes God delighted and more than ever wants me strong enough to overcome it. But I don't always see or understand any of that. It all sort of seemed a cruel thing to me. It kind of sounds irreverent to put this in words, but it felt like a setup.
Yeah, well, like a lot of things do. You know, when you look at life and when you look at what the scriptures teach. The other thing that is weird about the wheat and the tares is the roots of the wheat crop become intertwined with the weeds. So if you go out and try to pull those weeds out, you're going to damage the crops, which is part of why, not only in how things are sown and what the field looks like, but it's the whole idea of waiting until the harvest to straighten everything out.
Yeah, and this really requires discernment because it makes our lives more complicated. Because when we're living side by side with evil roots, we need to watch our step and guard our hearts. It makes this verse in Isaiah come alive to me. It's Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And then Psalm 119:105 on the other side, it says, it talks about the word being a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. And I love the picture that he's protecting my back and leading me at the same time through this complicated intertwined roots that just need a lot of discernment to walk through it through life.
So not only the realities of sowing need to be navigated, but the challenge of growing in an imperfect environment must be addressed as well. So the kingdom is limited by process, and we find ourselves in circumstances that are useful to the landowner's purposes, because when it comes right down to it, the landowner is the one who's calling the shots. And even though somebody else has come in and sown tares among the weeds, the landowner says how it's going to unfold because he understands how precious the crop is. Why in the world would you want
to... He knows how to protect the crop.
Yeah, and why would you want to be fickle and just go out and start pulling weeds and just sacrifice the crop for the sake of getting rid of the weeds and making your field look good? Well, Jesus then talks a little bit about the mustard seed, which we're going to return to tomorrow, but and the leaven. And then he begins to explain the kingdom. And because he talks specifically about the wheat and the tares, we want to pick up there. Then he left the crowds and he went into the house, and his disciples came to him and they said, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.
And he said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels.
So what a big picture in this parable. Mm-hmm. Now he's explaining the parable to him, and it's not just about fields, and it's not just about crops, but it's about the work that God is doing, the kingdom work that God is doing in the world.
So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. And in that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.
Well, we return to that whole idea. Mm-hmm. Just because it's being said doesn't mean you can hear it. And so those ears don't mean just physical ears on your head. It means having that connected to your heart so that you're able to hear the word of God and respond to the word of God, which is the essence of what the kingdom is.
And make sense of it. Because when you can't hear, you're blind. You're crashing about in the darkness. Nothing makes sense when you can't see, when you can't hear.
Well, we learn a number of things from Jesus' explanation. So we're just going to kind of go down them right here. So you can think about wheat and weeds. Think about your life. Think about what it looks like. Sometimes the weeds are a big nuisance and can cause lots of problems, but it's the way the kingdom is growing. So there are several things from his explanation. First of all, he is the Son of Man, and he is growing and sowing good seed. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Son of Man does. And that's an interesting, the Son of Man term comes out of the prophets, and it's related to the incarnation. He's the Son of Man. So he came as a man, and he is the one who has been sown into the world. The seed of God has been sown into the world through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I have wondered why a lot, because somewhere I decided that I can trust God's plan, all of it. But just that whole thing where you said he has the plan and it unfolds, he unfolds it. I can be frustrated and stuck about just his plan, because it sometimes feels like a setup. I mean, honestly, don't you have questions about why a baby dies, or why a friend had a traumatic brain injury? All those things just complicate life.
Or why people on a world level are crazy.
Yeah. Or why does he allow all these painful personal relationships? Just a lot of questions.
Yes.
in admitting that he's big enough to be the farmer.
So he's the Son of Man, and he's sowing good seed. The world is God's sowing field. So that's the purpose of the world. The purpose of the world isn't to produce what I want it to produce. It's so that God can sow in the world and produce what he wants to. The good seeds, or sons, are kingdom seeds, and the tares, or weeds, are the sons of the evil one. And this amplifies just the connection. You know, God is not evil, and he did not create evil.
Mm-hmm.
But evil came from the heart of Lucifer himself. That's going to be an interesting one to understand the other side of that story.
Question 1,000,003.
The harvest by reaping angels will come at the end of the age. The tares will be gathered and burned, and the wheat will shine forever in the kingdom of our Father. If you can hear it, receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. Well, you know, when it comes to the wheat and the weeds, have you ever wondered why things are the way that they are? And why do weeds grow in God's beautiful garden? And why does he even allow it?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most difficult questions are king questions. And does he have the right to set the parameters? Is he obsessed with fairness as we are?
Well, I think
what's the difference between fairness and justice?
Yeah, he does have the right to set parameters. You know, I found in my life it was one thing to say that, and it was another thing to accept it at the heart level. You know, I think what I had to come to about the fairness thing, when I feel like I'm getting a stiffer dose of tough times, he is really very present, but it's just hard. And you look around, it's easy to look around and wonder why nobody else is doing that. Or when I'm wrestling with an issue in my life, either a real situation or something going on in my heart, you know, he really shows up. And what I realize is that I get to experience him in a way that I don't need to, or I don't need to see him show up when things are going smoothly. And sometimes I look at people and think that I wish I had their relationship with God, because it seems so deep and real, but I know that they got through hard times. It's just a reality, always. It's worth it.
Yeah, and there's also the question of what makes a weed a weed. You know, when you take it out of the farming metaphor, fast-growing, non-fruit-producing, useless compared to the wheat. And, you know, you can obviously make bread from wheat, but you can't make anything from weeds. Tares impersonate substantive growth. And this is a real metaphor to help us understand why the world looks the way that it does, because there is a lot of impersonating going on, and they make a farmer feel his crop is more than it is. And we're really interested in the true yield of the crop, and that's what God is interested
in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. It's a great parable, and his explanation is so straightforward, but he's not finished. And not only is the kingdom wrapped up in seeds and soils and in sowing, and like a small mustard seed which shelters, the leaven which energizes, it's also like hidden treasure of surpassing worth. It's the hope of uncovered, buried, eternal retirement funds. It's the pinnacle of value as an amazing pearl. It's a fishing net of massive use to the king and of great benefit to the fish. So I'm kind of excited about finishing these parables of the kingdom.
I love how you end this section. After explaining what the kingdom and our lives look like with evil all around, you say, Jesus is not finished, however, because obviously Jesus is going on with more parables and miracles. But now I'm feeling expectant about what else does Jesus have to say?
Some of the most difficult questions in life are king questions. Does he have the right to set the parameters? Is he as obsessed with fairness as we are? And what is the difference between fairness and justice? These are the things that the soul of a person really wrestles with. I don't think God minds having questions asked. There's a difference between asking questions and questioning God. And you can see it all the way through.
Questioning God's right is different than saying, I don't get this. Help me understand.
He has the authority, but that doesn't mean he doesn't want to interact with us on why things are the way that they are. In fact, I don't know, a lot of times he answers that question. I don't always like the answer, but he does. Forestream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forestream.com and click on the radio button.
Together we're finding hope at forestream.com.